to every six home.
Things like that. So they give you what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. My message for next Sunday.
Anyway, well, we appreciate Brother Butler. He reminds me of them two fellas, old fellas, meeting up. You know, I hadn't seen each other in a long time. One of them said to the other, said, "Friend, what I really hate about getting old, you get too forgetful, so forgetful. Now tell me, was it you or your brother that got killed back in the war?" So he had some problems, didn't he? Anyway. Well, I tell you, we appreciate our son-in-law, Brother Tim, preaching there and the good message he brought. And we had several things for one that we felt we wanted to preach, really, but we don't know. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6 this evening. And we felt like we all just go with that, just familiar, maybe remind you of something that you might need to be reminded of. And so we want to go with that this evening if we could. And we've always enjoyed being here, really, Brother Butler and all the folks, and just been treated like royalty and good fellowship and good singing and just, you know, get revived and refreshed and motivated and energized and just helped. So we appreciate that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, and we want to start with verse number 9, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. And we want to just put a simple title on it this evening, guidance about prayer, guidance in prayer. And the Lord's given us here this model prayer. And I know somebody might say, "Well, preacher, I believe in praying in the Spirit." Well, I don't think Jesus told us anything about fleshly praying. And so this will help us to be guided in our praying. And I know I started to school a long time ago and went to school a long time ago, but I remember when I was in school, elementary school and high school too, we'd have assemblies at certain times. I remember when John F. Kennedy, the day that he was assassinated, we were in school. And I remember we had an assembly that day. And I don't remember specifically, but any time we had assembly, we did several things. One of them was we would pledge the flag. Another one was we'd repeat the Lord's Prayer. And another one, we'd oftentimes have somebody to read some scripture and have prayer. And that was just common in school. And I wasn't saved at that time. And I'm sure most of the other students weren't. But still, I don't think it hurt us. But becoming a Christian, it gives you kind of a new outlook on this model prayer, as it's called. And I believe it's not just a Sunday thing. I don't believe it's just a Monday thing or any other day of the week, just for that day. But really, it's a model of prayer that the Lord gives us about praying.
Amen.
I need some guidance on it. I can't speak for anybody else, but I need some guidance on praying. And really, I don't think it's just something to pray word for word in repetition, but just a way of praying, as Jesus called it, a manner of praying.
Yeah.
So we won't look at that. Let's read it first, then we'll have prayer, and the Lord helping us, we'll go on. But look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let me read two more verses. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." He's kind of picking up on something we're to pray about. And just like this might be specifically sometimes what we need. And then he said in verse 15, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Those are some words there, I believe, that gives us some guidance about praying. And so let's pray. But Father in heaven, we are privileged and blessed to be here again this afternoon. And we pray you'll help us, Lord, to say what would need to be said. And we pray that, Father, all of our hearts could be receptive to what you'd have to say to us through your word. Help us, we pray, our Father, as best we know how to pray, in Christ's name. Amen. But some guidance about praying. I believe this we call it a model prayer, Lord's Prayer. I mean, I've got reasons for believing it's more than a model prayer. But I believe it can prevent some things. Number one, it can prevent vain repetition.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we can pray and just, we're almost like those Balaamites on Mount Carmel. Prayed all morning long, vain repetition,
right,
thinking that there's going to be heard for all that they say. I tell you, friend, I've got a Father in heaven that hears me.
Amen.
And when I pray to him, it's not vain repetition.
Amen.
And so I don't need to treat it that way. And so it can prevent maybe some vain repetition. I believe it can prevent having unforgiveness in our heart. I'm talking about if we pray the way the Lord said to pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us. So it can prevent maybe some unforgiveness in our heart. Maybe it can prevent a wandering mind. Anybody ever pray with a wandering mind?
Okay.
Start praying. First thing you know, you're way over yonder shooting a deer or something.
Yeah.
Driving down the road or something. And so it might can prevent a wandering mind. You know, there's a very good possibility that it grieves God for us to not have enough respect and reverence toward him. And when we pray, we keep a mind on what we're praying.
That's right.
I mean, it could very well grieve him, you know. And so maybe it could prevent a wandering mind. It might prevent not asking. You know, James had some words to say about that, didn't he? Have not, because you ask not. Maybe there's something this afternoon that you definitely need. I tell you, I've told the Lord a lot of times, God, if you don't do this for me, it's not going to get done.
Right.
I mean, I pastored a church for a few years, and I've told the Lord, Lord, I need your help now.
Amen.
This is your work, and if it's not your work, it doesn't need done anyway. But since it is your work, and it needs done, you're going to have to help me.
Amen.
And I tell you, the Lord's always, he's done something to help.
Amen.
And so it might prevent, you know, this thing of a wandering mind, not asking. It might prevent regarding iniquity in our heart.
Oh, yeah.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
And so it might prevent that. Forgive us our debts, Lord, as we forgive our debtors. So it might prevent that. It might prevent asking amiss. It might prevent also ceasing to pray. And we are to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
And so this thing of some guidance on praying. I believe the Lord had a reason for saying what he did, and I don't believe he really said anything that didn't need to be said. And I don't believe that really I believe anything he said to do, we ought to do it. Anything he said not to do, we don't have any business doing it. I'm not just bumping my gums together. I'm saying, friend, I mean, I believe the Lord had a reason for this model prayer, as we call it. Teaching us how to pray and also how not to pray. What he said in verse number 5, this same chapter, Matthew 6 and verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. In other words, he's telling folk how not to pray, but he's telling them how to pray. So he says, don't be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Right.
Then he says on down to verse number 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. You remember the Balaamites we mentioned on Mount Carmel? I mean, man, they prayed for hours. I mean, they were talking. No one was listening as far as heavenly, but they had some vain repetition thinking. Let's just read the way the Lord said it. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So he had some things to say about it. Jesus said we're accountable for every idle word that we speak. Does that ever kind of get on you? Man, I tell you, I've thought about that in my preaching. Man, I'm telling you, isn't it easy to speak idle words?
Yeah.
I mean, they have no meaning. I remember a famous preacher telling me one time, he's sitting on the first pew up here, I don't want to use filler. Remember saying that, Brother Butler? That made sense. I mean, you know, in other words, I know I knew exactly what he's talking about. He said, I don't want to use filler, just, you know, something to fill in.
Right.
I tell you, there's enough. I remember an old fellow one time told me, and he was a good Christian brother. We had some good fellowship. He said he heard a preacher say one time, when I'm driving down the road, I'm looking for something to preach. He said, I felt like telling him, have you ever thought about looking in the Bible? Yeah, because that's, you know, we got plenty to preach. I mean, plenty of. And so this thing of, you know, just vain repetition, things that really don't really matter. And so I believe it would apply to preaching and praying also. You know, don't be like the heathen, Jesus said. We could all probably be more cautious and meaningful with our words. I mean, some guidance on praying, that's what Jesus was doing. And so I don't believe there's any Bible evidence that I know of where this prayer is something for an individual person or an assembly of people to just repeat word for word. I mean, I don't see any Bible example of it. But we do see a lot of Bible examples of that model being used. In other words, these are some things to pray for. And when you pray, Jesus said this is the manner to pray. I want to give just simply about four things about this prayer tonight. This some guidance about praying. When you pray. I believe when we pray, we're pray in relationship. That is our Father. I mean, I remember getting saved and I came into a new world. I'd had a father all my life. We didn't have the best family. You know, family. I don't know what you'd call it. We were, I believe the psychologists call it, we was probably a dysfunctional family. I mean, the first time I remember seeing my dad, I walked in a federal penitentiary in Atlanta, went in to see him. Looked through the bars, went inside, you know, and he spent some time there. And, you know, I'm just saying we didn't have a perfect family. But I tell you, when I came in the family of God, I've got a perfect Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And some of the family, some of us in the family may be dysfunctional for once in a while, but my Father in heaven, he's been a good Father to me. And I tell you, when I pray, I can pray my Father. I've been very low a lot of times. And you know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of things that can bring you down pretty low. Sometimes it needs to be. But I've never got to the place where I couldn't look up to my Father in heaven.
Amen.
And say, my Father.
Amen.
And I mean that relationship being there. And so this thing, when we pray, we're praying. I don't know anything really more assuring than to have a Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And that's what he says to do. Let us draw near with a true heart. He's talking to Christian people. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God does everything right. Perfect. Good. And when you pray, Jesus said, this is the manner to pray in. Pray in relationship, our Father, as it says in which art in heaven. And so the Christian's Father, look at some verses there on that. And look back in chapter number 5 and verse number 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. other words, you act like him. You perform your life like him. You've got the heart and attitude like he has, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He really teaches us to be merciful like the Father in heaven is merciful. I tell you, when I cried out to him for mercy, what did he give me? Mercy. I mean, it was, you know what I mean, mercy. And so that's what he's telling. And the Father, verse number 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed that you do not show before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Look at verse number 4. It says again, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Chapter 6 and verse 6. And it says this, when thou prayest, into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You know, you probably never have been as simple as I've been, but I remember getting saved and reading the Bible, and I read it some before I was saved. Didn't understand a lot of it, but and didn't read a whole lot of it, but I did read some. And when Jesus said, you know, when you pray, enter into thy closet. Man, and I tell you, there's times I took that literally. I'd get in the closet. I was born and raised up in the mountains there in northeast Georgia. And I kind of made a vow over the years. I'd seen, they just want many jobs. And I'd seen people graduate from high school. What do? Go to Atlanta to get a job. I always kind of made a vow. I ain't going to Atlanta. Yeah. I mean, I ain't going to Atlanta. I mean, I'm a country boy and I just ain't going. Well, I got saved by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, he moved me from where I was. You know where I ended up? Atlanta. You know where in Atlanta I ended up? Constellation Avenue. That's right there in Atlanta. In the bottom of a boarding house. In the basement of a boarding house. You know what happened? I had some of the sweetest times of my existence. In that basement of a boarding house, a young convert had a place to pray, a place to read my Bible, a place to listen to Mull singing convention on the radio. Amen. Amen. I had some good times there. Now, you know what I mean. And God, he works things in a good way. Why is that? Because he's a father. Amen. I mean, I thought that was a disadvantage to me in Atlanta, but it helped me to get away from the folks I've been around. Things I've been around, and I could have very easily, without the grace of God, ended up in the same penitentiary my dad had been in. And a lot of my other relatives had been in also. But by the grace of God, I'm talking about the grace and then the goodness of my Father in heaven. I'm telling, and this thing of praying is praying in relationship to a Heavenly Father that knows what you need, that understands what you need, and knows what you don't need too. That you might sometimes ask for. And so praying in relationship to the Heavenly Father. This relationship is heavenly without any shortcomings and without any regrets. You know, Peter wasn't picking on anybody's relatives. But he did say this. He said, you know, you that's been redeemed, been saved by the grace of God and brought into the family of God. He said, you've been redeemed from that vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that? Yeah. In other words, he's not picking on your family. He just knows that in this human part of us and the human families we come from, there are some things that the Heavenly Father has better. And there are some ways that the Heavenly Father is better. And there's better things in the family of God than there is in any the best of families on this earth. We appreciate these earthly families and thank God for them. In fact, God placed us in families and we're going to appreciate it. And the closer to God you are, the better your family is going to be. And I'm just saying, friend, but the Heavenly Father, it is a perfect relationship. And so this is a praying by relationship. You know, and so and the people of God are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And the Christian has a new relationship, and he's made a new man, and he's made in the image of God and the family of God. And that new man is accepted in the beloved. So verse 8 said, your father. Verse 9, our father. Verse 14, your heavenly father. Verse 15, your father. Verse 32, also the father. Verse 7, chapter 7, verse 11. Let's just read it while we're reading. Chapter 7 and verse number 11, he's talking again on accepting prayer. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And so, tonight, number one, this evening, creating a relationship, but then also praying in reverence. I tell you, I don't know how to say it the way I feel like it really needs to be said. It's easy for us to just begin to look on prayer like somebody coming to Santa Claus or something, you know, and just not having that real respect and reverence. I've thought of it a lot of times about what Hebrews, the way Hebrews words it, that about serving God acceptably. And he said, if you're going to serve God acceptably, it's going to have to be with reverence and with godly fear. I'm talking about serving God acceptably. And if we pray, and if we pray in a guided way like Jesus told us to pray, it's praying in relationship, but it's praying also with reverence toward him. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, we're accepted. Christian folk are accepted. And you know, what I mean. We're to rejoice and all that. We're not saying we gotta, go around with no smile and afraid to smile and none of that. But still a good, healthy fear of the Lord. And it's the beginning of a lot of good things. And so this reverence toward God, hallowed be thy name. Sabbath day was hallowed. The priests were hallowed. Vessel of the temple were hallowed. Not to use the Lord's name in vain, it was hallowed. Psalm 111 verse 9, holy and reverend is his name. I always get a little nervous when I get a phone call. And I pick the phone up. Is this the reverend? I said, you know what I think to myself? They're not in our camp. That's not the camp we're in. But reverend is his name. And so serving him with reverence and godly fear. Our God is a consuming fire. And the Lord is to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Jesus praying. Be good to read it every once in a while. John 17. Holy Father. Holy Father. Righteous Father. That is recognizing Almighty God. I just almost tremble to think about it. I mean, if God willed to tonight, he could strike me right, I mean, dead as a doornail right here where I am. And you too. He could do it if he willed to. But thank God tonight he's merciful and gracious. You know what I mean. He's the Heavenly Father. But to serve him and pray with reverence. And I don't believe I'll ask for something that would not be an honor to his name. Honoring to him. We're to pray in the Spirit. We're not to grieve the Spirit. And is it really respecting his name that our minds, just not have that, and hearts not be reverent toward him in the right kind of way? And so I believe the Lord Jesus tonight is he's making intercession for us. And Lord, pull for me. I remember Mangus, we used to have come preach for us. He's gone on now to the next world. But I remember he used to pray, and before he'd preach, and he'd say, God, how'd he word it? God, I'm pulling for your son tonight.
Yes.
And if I'm pulling for your son, help me to represent him well. Amen. And do well for him.
Amen.
And tonight, as the Lord Jesus intercedes for us, I believe he intercedes in a in a good way, in a perfect way, and concentrating perfectly in his intercession and with that tonight. So we're to pray with reverence, pray in relationship, but pray with reverence also. But I believe there's some more things to pray for in this manner of praying, relationship, reverence, but praying with requests. There are some things to ask for. I believe somebody said one time, if it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. I believe somebody else worried at one time, I worry about something just long enough, pray about it.
Amen.
And so this thing of praying, and there are some requests. God's got a big program going on in the world. You know, it does us good to have these meetings, I believe, because it just reminds us of what God's going to have, what he's got going on in the world. You know, I mean, there's some things he's got going on. And so we're to ask for those things tonight. Number one, thy kingdom come. That is a request, you know. Thy kingdom come. I believe there's two ways of looking at it. Number one is, there's a heavenly kingdom tonight that God's working from, and he's working toward earth, that his program and his will can be done in the lives of individual people and lives of churches on earth as his will is being done in heaven. You say, well, what if his will is not done? You know what? Satan had a will, you know. And I tell you, God couldn't fellowship with Satan with him that kind of will, because Satan's will was corrupt. And Satan, you remember all those wills that he had? I will, I will, I will. And you know what God, you know what God said about it, don't you? He was having iniquity in his heart when he said, I will. He wanted to be like God. He wanted his will to be done instead of God's will to be done. And so this thing of request, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, when folk get saved, they're in a dark world. And Colossians words it this way, that he, when he saves us, he translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. A translation. And you do know what's supposed to be going on in our lives, don't you? Just simply the will of God. Just simply the will of God. And don't get overwhelmed with it. Because what he wills for us is not grievous. It's not more than we can bear. I'm not saying we don't come short. But it's not more than we can bear. And we're to pray thy kingdom. And really, I believe when we pray that, it's like saying, God, save lost people. Where instead of living in the kingdom of darkness, they can be translated from that kingdom of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And then they can do the will of God on earth, just like the will of God is being done in heaven. I believe that's one way of looking at it. And I believe it's a true way of looking at it. And so his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's praying for unsaved people that they can come to know God and come to know him and do his will. And in this program that God's got going on, I mean, he does that. I mean, this request, thy kingdom come, is really a prayer for rebirth, for people to be saved. But then also, I believe it really involves a prayer for removal. That is, for God's kingdom to come and his will be done on earth. There's going to come a time that Jesus referred to in John chapter 14, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and before the kingdom of God ever comes, literally, Jesus being the king, I mean, God's people is going to have to be taken to the Father's house according to the Lord Jesus. And he said he's going to go and prepare a place for you. And he said this too, if it were not so, I would have told you. It's pretty good, isn't it? And so I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. It's not Satan talking here. This is the King of Glory talking. I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So I'm saying God's program's got to, you know, this thing of removal. God's children being removed out of the sinful world, taken to the Father's house in heaven. And so that removal has got to take place. But I believe there's something else. His program is a program we're requesting for of replacement. I appreciate the rulers that we have in this world. Some of them are easier to appreciate than others.
Yeah.
I tell you what really bothers me. In fact, I thought about preaching on that from Isaiah chapter number 3, political possibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, friend, when people just, when rulers are in a place to where, and God allows them to be in those places, and I tell you, I try to still pray for them. And I tell you, I'd hate to have some of their places, but it really bothers me when I see political rulers just completely going contrary to God on what they're trying to do. And friend, God is allowed, He does allow some things to go on. But let me say this, it's not always going to be allowed. It's not always going to go on.
Amen.
There's going to come replacement of a pure and holy, righteous ruler someday, and His name is the King of Glory, that's going to come, and in His time He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Now let me say this. We pray that. I don't know about you, but I really get to considering, Lord, these things are going to be. I mean, there's going to be a removal of God's people. There's going to be a replacement of the kingdoms of this world. I need to get my life exactly where it should be. And I'd be better off. And God's glory is going to be better. It's going to be better in His for His glory too. And so when I pray this way, I mean, praying this thing is not a bunch of mumbo jumbo, this model prayer, and a bunch of, you know, praying the something to consume it upon our own lusts. It's getting down to the reality of things, that Jesus is going to return. And He's going to take His children to the Father's house, but also the kingdom of this world are one day going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Bless the Lord. Well, better get shaped up for it. It's going to come. Thank the Lord it will. And I tell you, it makes me see things a little bit more clear. You know, what everything's coming to. I remember old Nebuchadnezzar, he thought it was all about him. He thought it was his kingdom. He thought he'd brought himself to the place. He thought he'd build up that kingdom. God let him know, drove him out there among the beasts. What was it? Was it 7 years? I don't remember. It was some years. Brother Dwayne says it's 7 years. Amen. That old Nebuchadnezzar was driven out there and ate straw and grass like an ox, and dew fell on his claws, his nails grew out like bird's claws, and the dew fell on him, and until he came to a place and realized, this is the God of heaven that gave me this kingdom. This is a God of glory that's over everything. It's Him that really put me in the place I am. You know, God said, I put His rulers the basis of me. I tell you, it's something, my friend. Did He really mean this praying, this model prayer, this kind of praying? Any times have we prayed that way? Lord, Thy kingdom, I'm talking about from real the heart, Thy kingdom come. Every time I pray it, it crosses my mind. I believe every time I pray it. Lord, Jesus is going to return. Kingdoms are going to be changed one of these days. There's going to be some changes made.
Amen.
I just need to be about my Father's business a little more.
Amen.
As Brother Butler said, you know, getting up, praying for 2 hours of believing, you know, and all that. I mean, we probably could do more of that, what he's talking about. Witnessing, I mean, just being about the Father's business.
Amen.
And so, this evening, this praying to replace, but also praying for daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes folk might say, well, I don't need to pray that. I've got food in the refrigerator. You know, got a refrigerator full of food, a freezer full of food, and got a grocery store full of food. You do know it could change in a moment's time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't for the goodness of our Heavenly Father, it could break a change very quickly. And I'm not trying to scare anybody or anything. It's just reality. And friend, we are dependent on Him for daily bread. And sometimes that may be all we have is daily bread. And friend, but He's always been faithful to provide, hasn't He? I tell you, I appreciate the goodness of God. And I tell you, I still pray. And I know we've got some canned stuff and food in the freezer. And you know what? My wife, she keeps, you know, things bought up from the store. And we grow a little stuff too and all that. But I still feel right in praying, give us this day our daily bread. If nothing else, it reminds me of my dependence upon Him for daily bread.
Amen.
And so this thing of praying to, for daily bread, as He called it. The old psalm writer talked about it. He said, there's two things never had seen. Number one, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God's always provided, He said. Thank the Lord. I've noticed this. I've known people all my life. And where I was from, I grew up around a lot of folks that, you know, had maybe mental conditions, people that had handicaps. You know, and I remember there was a man out on the street, you'd see him out there, and he's, you know, he had a mental condition of some kind, and he'd play that radio. And he'd just laugh at everybody and smile at everybody playing that radio. Had a big old belly out there. I thought, man, God's even provided for him. That probably couldn't work a job. He didn't know how to work a job. I mean, but he knew how to play that radio. And just a little transistor, you know what I mean, the old-time transistor radios. But I'm just saying, I've seen people like that, handicapped people, people that's got mental problems. But one way or another, God still, in His mercy and grace, sends rain on the just and the unjust, gives food to people. I mean, in His mercy and grace. And but friend, when you come into God's family, I mean, you're in a relationship to where, I mean, He's going to provide. Thank God. He's done. And we're to pray that. And we're absolutely dependent upon Him to provide those things. And bless the Lord for it. But daily bread. Well, I've heard a lot of stories about people seeking for worldly great things. Sometimes they got them. Sometimes they didn't. But He gives what we need and provides for us. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, I believe He said, be careful for nothing but everything. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then praying for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, I believe one way of walking in the light is really just praying. I mean, we get reminded of a lot of things when we pray. And I believe when we walk in the light, we begin to see some things that don't belong in the light. Yeah. And Christians, you know, we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And as we're walking this Christian life, there are some things that we get to notice. And, you know, that doesn't belong in the light. That's something I don't need to be walking in. And forgive us our debts. And I tell you, when we really get down there, and it may take some time sometimes, getting down there to praying, those dark places begin to show up, and those dark things begin to show up, and we say, you know, those things don't belong in my life. Forgive us our debts as we forgive. I know John said to some people that's liars. Man, that's serious stuff there. Yeah. Liars.
Yeah.
And he said there's some people that are liars, and one of them is people that say they have not sinned. But he said there's another liar. People that say they have not sinned, and people that say, I have no sin. In other words, it could be both ways, you know. I'm just saying sin runs deep. Darkness runs deep. And we're in this thing, in this time of prayer, we can get some of those dark things out of our life and come clear and clean with God and you know, get some things straightened out that need to be straightened out. God help us. Well, about this model prayer. I mean, we're supposed to just repeat it word for word and go along with the assembly we're in, go along with the people we're in with, and just repeat it word for word and not even know what it means, not even think about it. I believe he's given us some guidance on prayer.
Yeah.
Just how to pray. And this thing of reverence and this thing of relationship and this thing of request, a lot of things to pray for in this thing of requesting. Well, cleanse us of all. What about this thing of temptation? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, Peter was told, watch and pray, and those disciples were told, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. But you remember when the Lord Jesus came back, they weren't watching and praying. They was napping and sleeping.
Yes.
And you remember he fell into that temptation. And really, I believe there's a lesson for all of us in that. And that is, don't wait till you fall into some kind of temptation, then pray, Lord, get me out.
Right.
Yeah. Pray before you ever get into that temptation. Because we, and this, I believe this is a daily prayer, a daily manner of praying that Jesus gives us here. In other words, don't wait till you fall into something, but pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil before that temptation ever comes. I tell you, I kind of feel for that man that got up in age, and he said something like this, I want to go home. You know what he said he wanted to go home for? He said, I want to go home, talking about heaven, Christian man. He said, before I lose my mind, he said, before things get too bad, and before I mess up. God, I don't want to mess up. And I believe one way to not mess up is do what Jesus said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I will say this too, it's not just for young folks.
No.
It's for some of us older folks too, and everybody in between too. You know, delivering from temptation, as the Lord taught us to pray here. So prayer is a means of asking God, asking and requesting, as he called here. But then the last thing we want to mention, and that is praying in recognition. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, in recognition. God deserves all the glory. We read it in church last night. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
And so praying in recognition of who the glory belongs to. Thine is the kingdom. And so recognizing that, it's his glory forever, his glory forever. I remember Brother Butler told something about Charles Spurgeon. Heard Brother Butler preach somewhere one time. And he said somebody invited a member of Brother Spurgeon's church, invited somebody to come to the church and listen to his preacher. Well, he did. And he asked the visitor at the end of the service or sometime after that, he said, what do you think about our preacher? He said, well, he's fat. I guess he didn't like that. Leads his own singing. But he said, when he starts to preach, he disappears. Well, that's good, isn't it? In other words, where people can only see the Lord. Well, that'd be good. That'd be good. And so he disappears is the words he used for it. I remember Brother Allen saying, I don't know who the man he's talking about. Brother Allen knew it. I don't know if you ever heard him tell about it, but said, the preacher preached one, I believe, a Sunday morning, and somebody responded to the invitation and was saved. And the preacher said, I kind of felt kind of proud, you know, that I preached a good message and gave an invitation. Somebody came forward to be saved. But he said, I went home. We were going to eat dinner. My wife had dinner fixed and went home to eat, and I couldn't eat. And he said, my wife asked me, said, why can't you eat? He said, the Holy Spirit told me you'd steal the crown off Jesus' head.
Oh,
isn't that something? But isn't that kind of what we do when we get puffed up and don't recognize who the glory belongs to.
Right.
Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so this thing of praying in recognition of that, I want to close with, I don't know how long I've gone. I don't know if I've gone not long enough or too long. Look at Revelation. Let's close Revelation there. This thing of praying is not over with, and it's not going to be forgotten. Look at Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8. And he words it this way. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. I believe this is going to be in the eternal world, you know. The prayers of saints, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. It just kind of makes me want to pray, not amiss, but pray right, if my prayers are going to be kept in golden vials full of odors. Prayers of saints. Look at chapter number 8, verse 3 and 4. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. He should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Prayers of saints. This thing of praying, friend, it's going to last. These prayers are not forgotten. They're not overlooked. And I believe it's the Lord's going to take over the kingdoms of this world one day, and those prayers are going to be answered where they've said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so this thing of praying, I believe it's a meaningful thing. Guidance on praying. May the Lord guide us. God help us. This afternoon, Brother Butler.
Amen. Wonderful.